Welcome to the latest episode of Keeping Pace. I'm your host, Mike Moreau. New Balance trackster Laura Stokes is my guest on this episode. On this episode, we get into life during the quarantine and how she has learned a bit more about herself, how she got her start in the running industry, and why it's been hard to transition to a distance runner. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did. Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm still waking up. I've been a little low energy lately, but you know, it's good to have the day going so far.
I feel that with everything going on, I've been sleeping in a lot later than I would normally do that. So it takes me a little bit longer to get going throughout the day right now.
No. Yeah. I'm not usually like sitting around this much ever. And I've definitely had a lot of friends ask like how I'm doing with, you know, the pandemic happening and not being able to move around as much as I usually do.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. So why don't we start with a little introduction about yourself?
Okay, cool. So my name is Laura. Hi. I moved to Chicago last September, so coming up on a year. I'm originally from Southern California, and I moved out here for a new job. I work with New Balance. So I've been in the running industry for, almost four or five years now. So it's been pretty fun, but I ran track in middle school, high school, college, all that kind of thing. And now I'm kind of just trying to get into this distance running right now.
So you mentioned a little bit of your track history there. How did you get into running?
Yeah. So where I'm originally from, I'm from a small city called, well, it's not small, it's actually pretty large, but it's called San Bernardino, and it's like a little east of Los Angeles. It's got a pretty high crime rate, actually. It's pretty terrifying. But I went to kind of like a private middle school, and they had a small track and field team there. It wasn't anything really like crazy, but what they do is we had one track meet, and we pretty much practiced all the way for this one track meet. And it was at Mount San Antonio College, which is a pretty big meet that they host every year. And it's just for like middle schoolers, and they go and they compete this one day. So it's actually kind of silly, but I played soccer almost my entire life. And this was kind of just like another thing for me to do when I was in middle school. And I was like, okay, I'll do this. So did it pretty recreationally. And then we ended up moving out of San Bernardino when I was going into high school. The high schools in the area were they're pretty bad. And my mom, she pretty much said I wouldn't make it, like something would happen to me. She didn't believe I would get out unscathed. So we ended up moving to a small city named Marietta, which is kind of in between San Diego and LA. It's a pretty predominantly white neighborhood. And when I moved my freshman year, the few friends that I had, they were all going into the track team. So it was kind of just like, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it as well. I wasn't really planning on doing it. I had tried out for the high school soccer team my freshman year, and I ended up not making it. So I needed something to do. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I did it my freshman year. It was terrible. I was so bad. I didn't even want to do it the next year, but all my friends were doing it again. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. But I was a hurdler. And so my freshman year, it just was not clicking very well. It was bad. I fell all the time. I was like, this is terrible. I'm never doing it again. But of course I did it again. So, yeah. And then I pretty much hurdled all throughout my college experience as well, too. So mostly sprint based for the most part.
It's so funny. I've talked to a couple of people, and it's really interesting to hear that they've got their start in track and or distance running because a friend was joining the team. I wonder if that would make a huge difference if we were just like, you know, we went to our friends now and been like, hey, why don't we go for a run?
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, it's been kind of hard with running because I was a sprinter for so long. It's been kind of hard to transition from that sprint mentality into like a distance running. So I've been dabbling with that a little bit now, but yeah, I don't think I would have tried out. It was a really big team. We had a really big high school. We had over 400 kids on our track team. So to me, it was really intimidating that there was all of these kids around, and we didn't have a lot of diversity at the school. So for me, it was like my one few friends that were actually there were going to be on it. So I felt a teeny bit more comfortable, but it was a big team. It was very, very intimidating my first year.
Yeah. I got to imagine that's tough too. How did that move affect you? Minus the fact, cause it seems like you went from, is it fair to say San Bernardino is more diverse than, you know, where you moved to?
Definitely. It was way more diverse. I mean, most of my friends were either Latinos or they were Black, just because of the area that we were in. It was pretty low poverty, and that's just how San Bernardino is, unfortunately. So when I moved, it was a transition. It was really hard. High school was really tough for me, not being surrounded by a lot of diversity in the area alone. In my family, my dad is Black, but my mom is Hispanic. So I have kind of a weird dynamic of not being dark enough to be Black, but also being too dark to kind of mix in with like the Latino kids. So it was very interesting going from having that diversity in elementary and middle school, and then coming over to this high school that is predominantly white and not very welcoming for the most part. It took me a little bit to kind of find my clique.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever told you this, but I also went to a pretty predominantly white high school. And for me, mm-hmm. you know, we both live in Riders Park now, and I think in the year you've seen it, it's, you know, one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the city, if not the most diverse. So I went from, you know, a very diverse grammar school to a very white high school. And I was kind of in shock for a good year and a half. And I don't think I would have been very comfortable if it weren't for sports and some of the few friends that I made. So I can see why, like, track, you know, helped you a little bit at the new high school.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it really wasn't until I got into track that I saw more of the people of color that were actually in track and field. Like, you don't see a lot of them walking around the high school campus or anything like that. But once track came around, it seemed like everyone was, you know, a sprinter, or they were a jumper, or they were in, you know, the track and field side of thing. We didn't see it a ton in a lot of other sports. So it really wasn't until I got to college that I felt a little bit more comfortable, just because of the city that I grew up in for high school, and the high school I went to. It was very predominantly white.
Yeah. And so, you know, you mentioned you ran in college. So when did you start finding success in high school? And when did you think you might want to continue on with track in college?
It's kind of funny. I actually was not planning on running in college. So after my freshman year, I was done with it. I had fallen so many times. I was embarrassed. I was really bad. And because I played soccer for so long, I was really, really competitive, and not being good at something was really hard for me. And I had told my mom, I was like, I don't want to do track. Like, I sucked at it. It was terrible. I wasn't any good. And she was kind of like, okay, like, you can do whatever you want. I was still playing soccer on a travel team outside of it, so I was still doing things. But my hurdles coach actually ended up being my math teacher the next year. And she was telling me, like, you know, you're going to come back out for track, right? And I was like, I don't know. She was like, just come back out. Like, we'll figure it out, kind of thing. And it was interesting. My second year, for whatever reason, something kind of clicked. It could have been my growth spurt because I was a hurdler. I grew probably at least 3 or 4 inches. And so I was really tall. I was about 5'8" my sophomore year. And that's pretty tall for a girl. And it just made going over hurdles way easier. And something clicked, and I ended up jumping onto varsity my sophomore year. And it just worked after that. It became so much easier. I was actually really getting good at it. We didn't have a very large varsity team. We had a pretty big JV, at least just hurdles. We had a big team in general, but on the hurdle side, it was big, but we didn't have a lot of varsity kids on that team. So it was kind of easy to stand out in that regards of being good when there's not a lot of varsity kids on that. So something clicked sophomore year, and it just, I kept getting better every year. But I didn't really think about doing sports afterwards. There wasn't a lot of people in my family who ended up going to a four-year university. So me just going to college was the biggest thing. I wasn't really focused on how I'm going to pay for it or if I'm going to continue doing sports or anything like that. But I was going to be attending Cal State San Marcos. I was about to pick my schedule. Like, everything was pretty much set for me to go to Cal State San Marcos after college or after high school. And I was on the 4x1 team my senior year, and we were headed to state. We had made the state meet. And so I ended up leaving my high school graduation early so that I could travel up to Fresno to attend the state meet. And it was there that the head coach of San Francisco State's track and field team, he was attending that meet. He saw me race and noticed that I hadn't committed to anywhere, contacted me a week later. And then a week after that, I was actually flying out to San Francisco to go do an official tour. And then I ended up signing with them. It was all very fast. I had been getting offers all year from schools, but it just, I don't know, for some reason, I don't think it became like real for me until I was actually like out at a campus visiting. Like, the coach was so like, he was like, we got to get you, you know, you can have this. Like, and I was like, okay, sure. And it was far enough away from home, but not too far that my mom can't, like, you know, jump in the car, jump on a plane, but it was far enough that I felt like I could get my independence. So then I was like, sure, let's do it.
Do you know Casey Evans from Brooks?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Did you know he went to Cal State San Marcos?
I think we talked about it because when I worked at the running store in San Diego, he actually lives now in the city next to the city I went to high school. So he lives in Temecula. I went to high school in Marietta, and those are like pretty much cities right next to each other. And so we talked about it a little bit because I had friends who ended up running at Cal State San Marcos. So we talked about it briefly. How do you know Casey?
That's what I just know him through our Brooks rep Courtney and, you know, Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually interviewed Casey, so he's going to be on this in a couple of weeks.
He's awesome. He is just like a ray of sunshine every time he would come into the stores. I love Casey.
Yeah, he's pretty great. And you'll enjoy the interview when you get a chance to hear it. Okay, so
no, I'm excited for that. Yeah.
What about San Francisco State, you know, made sense for you? Because you mentioned you know, not many people in your family went to a four-year university, and you were looking at Cal State San Marcos. So what made you kind of change your mind a little bit?
I think the biggest thing was I was getting a scholarship, and that was a big factor in paying for college. It wasn't a big scholarship, but it was still going to help in some way. Cal State San Marcos, I was planning to not be in a dorm or anything like that. I was actually going to commute to the school just to help with cost on things. So the fact that they were kind of offering to help offset a little bit of that payment was a big factor of it. But I think another big thing was that it was away from home. Cal State San Marcos was kind of like my last option. I had gone and visited a few schools. I didn't love them as much. But San Francisco was so diverse when I had done my visit. I ended up staying with a couple of the girls on the team already, and they kind of took me around. And I just seen it was a way smaller team. I went from 400 plus kids on my team to maybe 50 girls. So that was a big thing as well. I could get a little bit more individual coaching as well. And so that was a big thing in terms of the track aspect. But the city was awesome. I had never been to San Francisco, but there was just so much diversity in the city. The campus was massive. I was blown away by that. And it just seemed like a good fit for me. And once I was there, I was like, I'm in. This is it. Whereas San Marcos was just like kind of like my fallback. It was, you know, it's close to home. I can still be able to get back if I need to. And I think I wanted to kind of step out a little bit more after high school.
Yeah, I get that because I went to the University of Missouri, and I kind of made my decision the same way. You know, when I visited Missouri, I really liked it, and I was like, this is just far enough away, but not too far. Yeah. Cause you know, it's only like a 7-hour drive from here. So I'm like,
yeah,
so it's not too bad.
That's exactly what it was for Southern California to San Francisco. It's depending on the way you drive. It could either be 7 hours or it could be like 8.5. So it was just enough that I could kind of get away, feel like I'm independent on my own. But if I needed my family, they could be there pretty quickly.
Yeah. Also, I always just forget how big California is. Like, it's kind of still amazing to me.
Since living out here, it is so weird to me because I can be in Wisconsin in like an hour and a half, but then I could also be in Indiana in an hour-ish. And so it's very weird to me that I can be in so many different states in less than 2 hours. Whereas in California, like if I wanted to go to Nevada, it's like 3.5, maybe 4 hours. So I'm not used to that aspect quite yet.
It's pretty awesome. And we're kind of a hub. And I think that's kind of why Chicago is a hub city.
I get that. Yeah. There's a lot of things I'm having to get used to since I'm out here.
I'm sure. So tell me a little bit about your experience in college and, you know, having a little bit more individual coaching and being on a more diverse team.
Yeah, it really wasn't until I went to college that I kind of felt like I was around more people kind of like me, because my dad was Black and my whole entire mom's side of the family is Hispanic. I lived with my mom, so I didn't really relate to my Black identity until I went away for college, just because I was now around so many really awesome, you know, women of color that were so encouraging. They were so positive. They were leaders. And I didn't have that experience while I was in high school or really growing up just because I wasn't around that. And so it was really more eye-opening for me, you know, all throughout pretty much middle school, high school. I tried to kind of conform to the people that were around me. You know, I straightened my hair. I don't think some of my friends from high school ever even saw me with curly hair. And once I got to college, it was really my chance to kind of figure out what part of, you know, who I was on my Black identity and my, you know, Latina identity as well, how I can kind of blend both of those. Just being around so many diverse people, San Francisco in general is so awesome in that you get a lot of people from all over the Bay Area. San Francisco State's a commuter school, so you had a lot of people coming from Oakland. They could be commuting, you know, 2 hours onto the tram system. And it was a very, very diverse campus. And that was something that I just wasn't used to. But living with a lot of these women throughout, you know, my college experience really opened myself up to having that more, I guess you could say, Black experience. I don't want it to be like, but for me, I didn't have that growing up. So it really helped me kind of figure out who I was in terms of my whole entire identity.
So on, you know, kind of jumping forward a little bit, how with everything with, I'll say, the movement that's been happening lately, you know, and you just said you kind of learned more about, you know, your Black side. How has that been for you lately? And have you been getting to know yourself a little bit more?
It has been very interesting. it's been a struggle. I think because I haven't totally been comfortable with my Black identity, that everything that's going on has kind of, it's made me confront that in the best possible way, because, you know, everything that's going on, I don't want to feel shame for not accepting my Black identity when I was younger. I want to embrace that side of it. And everything that's been going on has been so supportive for my growth in accepting my Black identity that I think now I'm more comfortable having those conversations with my family, especially, and maybe talking with them about the hard things that they might not have experienced, but I've had to experience growing up half Black and half Mexican as well too. So for me, it has been pretty eye-opening, I guess you could say. I've had a lot of talks with my dad about everything that I'm feeling, everything that I'm going through. And if anything, it's just really helped me kind of gain a better perspective of who I am as, you know, both Black and Hispanic. Like, you can still be both. You don't have to pick one side. So for me, it's been, I think it's been really positive. besides how bad it is right now.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of people have said, you know, 2020 is awful, and you know, rightfully so, because of the pandemic, a lot of deaths. But I think for, you know, reasons of what you just said, you know, a lot of positive things have happened as well.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of terrible things that are going on, but I think that you have to try and make as good of an experience as you can. And that's, you know, doing a lot of reflection or having those conversations with people, you know, try and make how terrible it is as best as you can, whatever way that is for you. That's how at least I'm trying to do it.
I think that's really the only way you can. And each experience is going to be different than, you know, for every person. Like, I can't relate to your experience because, you know, you're, you know, you said Black and Latina, and I'm a Haitian American male. So, you know, both of our experiences are going to be different, and we reconcile things a little differently.
And I think that's what's so great about the movement that's going on is you're hearing all of these different stories that you may not have heard of without this movement that's going on. Is you may not have realized like, oh, that's what you have to deal with every day, or that's what you think of every time you go into a store, or, you know, you may not have heard that without, you know, people speaking up and telling their story.
And on that note, have you had like some conversations with, you know, teammates from college or high school or even middle school? And has anyone been like, I'm sorry this happened to you, or I just didn't know?
I have. Yeah, definitely. I have some teammates. One of them, she's a Black woman, and she works for San Francisco Police Department. And she has a very interesting, I think, perspective on everything that's going on, because I think police are getting a very, very bad rep right now. But her being a police officer and being Black as well, and being a woman, I think she's getting like the worst of it all right now. And so I've talked with her a few times, and she has a very interesting perspective that not a lot of people think of when they think of police officers in general. They don't think of, you know, the other side of, you know, these people of color that are still wearing the uniform, and they're, you know, trying to do what's best when everyone views them as being terrible.
What have some of those conversations been like, if you feel like sharing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had conversations with family. Those have probably been the hardest. I think my biggest thing is I just want, you know, growing up, we didn't really talk about my Black identity. It wasn't anything that we really sat down and discussed for the most part. So now that I am in a better place mentally to talk about that, I think some people are a little bit more reserved and don't want to. And I just don't think we are in a place anymore to not have those conversations. And we should be talking about them. We should be having, you know, adult conversations on the things that are happening right now. And we should be voicing our concerns. We should be, you know, making sure that we are educating our friends, educating our families, educating, you know, all of our peers about what's going on, because not being educated, you're just not helping anything. So I think if you have the platform to use it for good. And I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, some of my family is you just want to make sure that you're staying as educated as you can.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome that you've been able to have those conversations and probably get a little closer to your family and just have them understand you a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, we didn't really talk about this growing up, and it's been really nice to be able to kind of talk to them about, you know, things that I felt even as I was a high schooler or a middle schooler, you know, or things that I experienced, to, you know, let them know like, hey, this is what I had to deal with. I might have never told you then, but I'm telling you now, like, let's figure out how we can help this for other people as well.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to your college experience a little bit, you ran track. What was running like post college for you? Because I mean, I know
I've only really heard the distance runner side. I know some of them feel overtrained and, you know, don't really run much after college, but I've never really heard post-college for, you know, sprinters and hurdlers.
It has been tough, Mike. I've struggled. I'm not going to lie. I think going in college, my track experience was kind of a mess. I had four different coach changes while I was there. And like my original coach he had recruited me, he ended up getting fired my freshman year for sexual harassment claims. And so we had an interim coach the next year. And then we had another coach the following year. And then finally we had our permanent coach the next year. And it was a lot of change that I was not ready for. So I know definitely a lot of it was my stubbornness. I didn't like that there was so much change going on. And so once I graduated college, my biggest struggle is finding ways to stay active that are still fun for me. And to be honest, running distance has not been fun for me. It's just, I'm so trained for my workouts, they're short, they're fast, and they're done quickly. Whereas running distance, they're usually not short. They're very long, and you're doing the same thing repetitively for a very long time. So it's been a struggle for me. But over quarantine and over furlough, I kind of had given myself like, hey, let's train. You're never going to have this much amount of time again. Let's train for a half marathon. And there's like Garmin does like a coach program. And so I had started the program. I actually got probably maybe 8 weeks into it and I was doing good. I think my longest run was like 9 miles and it was comfortable. I know that doesn't seem like much, but I got up to that and I ended up injuring myself. And so I had to go PT for about 5 weeks. And I think afterwards, I was just very unmotivated. I was, you know, I hadn't been to my job in a very long time and the world was falling apart. And so I have yet to get back into the groove of things, but I'm really hoping once this is over and run clubs can kind of get back together. That was always my favorite part of my job, was the running clubs that I got to go to, because you get to meet so many different people. You get to run with them. They usually talk while they're running, so it kind of distracts me from the pain of running. But I hope that once everything kind of cools down and we can get back to somewhat of normal life, that I can kind of get back into that. Because that's always been my goal. Having worked in a running store, everyone always asks like, oh, like you seem so fit. You probably do marathons. And I'm like, no. And they're like, half marathons? And I'm like, no. but I would love to be able to just say, you know, I've done it, and maybe find the passion that I had for competing on the sprint side of things to kind of turn that into the distance. Cause I can't get on a track and go and do some, you know, 400 hurdles workouts. That just doesn't exist. You don't have the accessible open tracks or hurdles. So I would love to be able to turn, you know, that passion that I had for hurdling into, you know, maybe a half marathon. Marathon just seems like a lot to me.
It is.
Yeah. See, that just does not, right now, I could say it doesn't appeal to me, but a half marathon is appealing right now.
I think a half is a good distance. It's, you know, you can still run it fast. It can still be painful. And it could also still be enjoyable at the same time. I know marathons are just tough. And I'm honestly still surprised that after my first that I've run as many as I have.
I will be lucky if in my lifetime I at least do one. At least that's where I'm at right now. But I'm sure if I found the right group to do like my training with, I would be way more motivated. It's doing things by yourself that I don't have any desire to do. And I'm so used to having a coach there, like my entire practice telling me exactly what I'm doing wrong, what I need to fix. So to transfer over into long distance running and not having that, it's been a little tough. I have not quite figured it out yet.
I can imagine. I wanna ask you, how did you become a New Balance trackster?
That was also very interesting. So I had worked at Fleet Feet in total, like the company Fleet Feet for about, gosh, three and a half years. I started working at the Fleet Feet in San Francisco my senior year of college. And I was just working as a fit specialist. And I kind of dabbled in a little bit of buying when the managers would let me. I'd kind of just take a peek at stuff and kind of just put my input. And the owner of the San Diego store, he was doing his training at San Francisco. And he was getting ready to open up his San Diego location. And I was getting ready to graduate. And it was kind of around the same time. And so I just reached out to him and I was just like, hey, do you have any room for any management? Like when you open up your San Diego location? And he didn't have any employees at all at the time. So he was like, definitely, like, come on down. Like, let me know when you're ready. We'll get you started. And so I moved down after college. I moved to San Diego and I started working as an apparel buyer at the Fleet Feet in San Diego. And I did that for about, gosh, 3 years, maybe 4 years, actually. And it was a lot of fun. I absolutely loved my job. And I think I was kind of just ready to see what was next. I loved working in the running industry. I loved mostly just talking with people. Like that was the biggest thing of being a fitter was I could sit there and talk with people about the most random things, and it was just the best part of my day. And so when I was kind of starting to feel like I want to see what's next, but I still want to be in the running industry, I had seen that a job had opened up on New Balance's website. Our rep for the San Diego location was just, he is the best person ever, and I loved working with him, and he always raved about how awesome the company was. And so when I saw that they had a job open, it was kind of just on a whim. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to apply. You know, it's so hard to get these jobs that I didn't even think anything would go of it. And I applied. Like, it was so not planned that we had just signed a new lease on an apartment 2 months prior. Like, I was not actually thinking of moving and getting a new job. And so I applied, and one of our footwear buyers who worked for the company at the time, she had seen that my application had gone through and had passed it on to the hiring manager essentially and said, like, this girl is it, like, you need to hire her, kind of thing. And within a few days, I had gotten a call from, I guess, my boss's boss, who was the hiring manager. And it kind of all just went really, really quick. And I didn't think it was going to go that fast. I had 2 or 3 interviews over phone. I had to tell my boss that I had applied. I wasn't planning on actually, but I had to let him know. He was really, really sad. But from there, it just went pretty quickly. About 4 weeks later, I was moving out to Chicago to start working as a New Balance track officer. And it has been a lot of fun since then.
That's kind of a wild story, but it sounds like it, you know, ended up working out for the best.
It did. It was very wild. There was a lot of, my family was really sad. This is the farthest I've been from them. My fiance and I, we packed up a minivan and we put our dog in there and we checked out for 4 days across the U.S. over to Chicago. But it has been fun. There's a lot of things that I missed because of COVID right now that I was really excited about when we had searched about Chicago. Like, I was really stoked for St. Patrick's Day and the river turning green, but that didn't happen this year. So that was one of the things I was really sad about. But it has been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll get to do some of that soon. And I know being in a running store, I know part of your job, and you mentioned this earlier, is being in person. So what's it been like being a trackster during the pandemic?
It has been pretty sad right now. I've been furloughed, kind of like millions of people in America have been furloughed, but I've been furloughed since April. We started out initially doing, when the whole thing started, we were doing a lot of online work. I was doing a lot of videos that I can send over to stores to tech them on apparel. That's kind of like my specialty. I really like working with apparel and helping to sell it. So that's kind of where I like to work. And so we started doing a lot of filming on videos, just essentially getting stores ready for when we can come back in. They kind of have the materials of stuff that's updating and what like that. So when that happened, I've kind of just been furloughed for a while now, but they have a whole plan on what a trackster is going to look like when we come back. So I'm pretty excited to get back into it. I've kind of just kept in touch with stores, gone in, picked up some stuff, you know, shop locally when you can and that kind of thing. So, you know, hanging in there as best as I can. I definitely did not anticipate being in the middle of a pandemic for my first year as being a trackster, but you know, you got to do what you can do.
Yeah, I can imagine that's tough. Like, I know, like you said, a lot of people have been furloughed. Like, you know, a lot of the Fleet Feet workers got furloughed as well. And that was definitely a tough adjustment just because I was so used to being on the go and I love being in store. And it was really, honestly, pretty boring doing nothing. But I was also healthy. So it was hard to complain while I wasn't working.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, my most of my job is being in stores and working with, you know, employees or working just on the floor as a fitter. And so my job shifted a lot when this first started to online stuff. So it's been an adjustment, but we're getting by.
So I'll ask you like a couple of random questions. What has been your favorite part about being in Chicago?
Oh, definitely the food. Hands down, the food. It actually reminds me a lot of like a bigger San Francisco because it is so diverse in the city. It's just so massive. And there is so many good food places around, like Rogers Park in general. I mean, you can get Mexican food. It's not as good as California food, I will say that, but you can still get it if you wanted. You could get Mexican food. You can get Jamaican food. You can get South African food. Like, there are so many diverse food restaurants around just Rogers Park that I did not even like research when we were first moving out here that I was so happy to find. But in general, restaurants around Chicago are so good that the food has been the best part of living out here, and the weather actually too, because I loved winter. I am not enjoying the summer, to be honest. I'm definitely cold weather all the way. I loved the snow. I about freaked out when it first started snowing out here. I ran outside with my dog. We played in the snow for like an hour. It was awesome. So I'm looking forward to our next winter already.
Yeah. I don't know what I like more, if I like more summers or winter. I wish Chicago had a permanent fall. I think our fall here is really nice. And I think those are the ideal temps in this city.
Yes. Yeah. It's so funny because I go back and I look at how I was at the beginning of the move. And there was one picture that I had taken on Instagram and I was complaining and I was in a big jacket, like a big furry jacket. And it was like 40 degrees. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to get colder than this. But now I'm like, 40 degrees is great. Like, that's a light jacket weather kind of thing. Whereas like pre-Chicago Laura, I was freezing at 40 degrees, but now I really appreciate 40 degree weather.
Yeah, I think I remember us having a brief conversation when it snowed in April, and I think that freaked you out a little bit too.
Oh my gosh, why is it snowing in April? It's been living in California your entire life. That was the weather here was a little bit of an adjustment, but I loved the snow. I loved the cold weather. The wind, we could probably do a little less of, but I'm not going to complain because it snows still. So I'm happy with that.
One thing I forgot to ask you about when we were talking about the trackster job is representation in the running community and the running industry in general. How do you think we can improve it?
It could definitely be a little bit more diverse, especially in my job position. There's not a lot of people of color and there's not a lot of women of color as well. So I think you could definitely have a little bit more of that. But the running industry in general is very much a white man sport. I mean, that's the best way to explain it is, that's kind of how it's been. So I think just getting more people of color engaged in distance running or just running in general, because you don't even have to be a distance runner to really enjoy, you know, watching the Olympics or watching, you know, the marathon or anything like that. So I think just getting people more engaged in the sport can kind of help a little bit of ways. But in the running industry, you just, you don't see a lot of women working at stores, and you don't see a lot of women of color either. At least not in my experience of right now traveling, because I cover Iowa, I cover Wisconsin, and I cover a little bit of Indiana. You just don't see a ton of people of color working at those stores or in management positions. So I think there's definitely work to be done, even within, you know, our company. You could have some more diversity in more management positions.
Yeah, I think the engaging part is important, because I myself need to be better about this and remember that running isn't just marathons or half marathons. You know, mm-hmm. it can be a mile or a 10K or a 5K or, you know, a 400 meter run somewhere. So just getting people active and learning to love the sport of running.
Definitely. I mean, if there is anything track related, like I am there, I'm all about that. 10K is actually not bad. I think that distance is pretty, you know, you can go fast without burning out so quickly, because it's not a super long, like 10K is a good distance. But I think you could definitely have more people of color just in the running industry as a whole.
Yeah, going back to the 10K, I'm surprised you actually didn't try a 10K or 5K before going to the half.
I have ran a 10K. That was like my first race I've ever done post college, was actually a 10K. And it wasn't, I was a coach for one of Fleet Feet's running programs. So I was actually coaching other people to run the 10K. I wasn't coaching myself. So I never did actual training for it. But the day of the race, one of our runners had actually, I don't even know how, I think I had a bib because I was there and I was going to pay someone. But they ended up maybe not wanting my assistance. And so I asked the leader of our coaching program, and I was like, hey, can I just race this? Like, let me just see what happens. And I actually ended up coming first in my age group. And afterwards I was like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. That was so great. Like, let's do it again. And then we just haven't done it again. 10K is not a big distance that I see a lot of races in. You see tons of half marathons, tons of marathons, but not as many 10Ks. But I would sign up for another 10K. I could do that one again.
Yeah, I think there should be more. I think that's a fun, hard distance if you're doing it correctly, in my opinion.
I agree, because you're still kind of running pretty hard for the most part, but you're just not going to die. So I like the 10K.
A couple final questions. What is one of your favorite things to do for fun?
So I did when I was living in San Diego. One of like our favorite things was hiking. We loved hiking. There's tons of places in, around San Diego. I have a 3-year-old black lab, and she's very outdoorsy. She just loves to be off leash. She just wants to run and go. So we did a ton of hiking out there. So it's been kind of sad to not see a ton of trails. I mean, it is a city, so I knew there wasn't going to be a lot, but it's just so flat here that you don't even get a mountain or anything. So I didn't think of that when I moved out here. So that's been kind of sad to miss. But when you go out into kind of the suburban areas, you can actually find a pretty decent amount of trail path areas. And so we've been experimenting with those, driving out to different areas, doing a lot of just, I guess, I don't really want to call it hiking as much, because it's really just like a dirt path, but it's still out in nature. There's trees, there's stuff. So we do a ton of that on the weekends. Rogers Park is kind of right next to the path. Otherwise, we do a lot of walking along the path. I have a little bit of interest in photography, so I do a lot of that kind of on my spare time as well, too. So anything that's outdoors, because most of my photography is usually outdoors. So I dabble in that a little bit, too.
That's awesome. I don't think I knew about the photography part.
Yeah, I don't post anything. It's more of I guess I post some stuff sometimes, but it's just like a hobby that I've dabbling in. I've, since quarantine, a lot of places have been doing online photography classes that you can find that are free now. So I've been learning a lot of different things that I didn't know my camera could do. So that's been a lot of fun too.
That's pretty cool. And Illinois, believe it or not, is not all flat. If you go south or even north, there are a few, like my coworker Jamie was just in Galena. She said it was okay. Really nice out there. People travel out to Starved Rock.
I don't know what that is. Where is that?
I forget which direction it is, but I know it's drivable. People, you know, can drive out there. And then, especially if you head down towards the Kentucky side, it can get pretty hilly down there. So not all flat, but mostly flat and a lot of corn.
See, it's funny because if I'm road running, I love the flatness because I never feel like I'm dying. But when it comes to hiking, I want a little bit of elevation gain. So we're finding all the areas around.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite places that you've eaten in Chicago so far?
Oh, gosh. The deep dish pizza is pretty good. I have a place in San Francisco that is, like, hands down my favorite deep dish pizza, and I still think it's better than Luminati's and Giordano's. So don't come at me, all you Chicago people. But there's actually a place in Evanston that we went to for breakfast, and it's called Frida's. And it's kind of just like this small kind of hole in the wall ish place, but they had really, I love breakfast food, and they had really, really good breakfast food. And that's probably the one place I'm looking forward to opening back up once we can go back and eat there, because they had really good breakfast food.
Ooh, okay. There's another place I suggest you try that just got brunch, and it's in our neighborhood. It's just in Edgewater, at like Broadway and Granville. It's called Beard and Belly.
Beard and Belly. Okay.
Yeah. Great food. Back patio and pretty.
Oh, so they're open right now?
Yeah. Wednesday through Sunday, and it's physically distanced. I think I've been once a week since it's opened.
Well, I know where I'm going this weekend then.
Yeah. Last question. You mentioned you're pretty competitive. What is the most thing you're competitive about?
Oh, just winning in general. It is terrible. It can be a good thing at some times, but it's also can be a bad thing. I have to win. It's really, really, like, I could be playing like Mario Kart, or I could be doing Just Dance, or just playing tennis, and I have to win. It's really, really bad. My fiance knows, like, I am terrible at it. If we're playing a board game or anything, like, I'm going to do everything I can to win. But that was also a good thing when I was playing soccer and when I was running track. I had a very, very big drive to just win in general. So it kind of helps me a little bit, but it has its negative side effects sometimes too.
All right, I guess this is the final question. Where do you think you got your competitive side from?
I have three sisters. I have a younger sister and two older sisters, and we have always played sports pretty much since I could walk. We were in sports. One of my sisters played softball all throughout pretty much middle school and high school, and then I had another sister who played soccer. So we were just always in some sport some time of the year. And I think just growing up, having older sisters that were also really competitive, I kind of like mirrored that a little bit. And because I played soccer for so long, like if we lost the game, I was just a terrible person, and don't talk to me for the rest of the day until I'm over the loss. Like it was pretty bad. So I think just growing up around older sisters that were also competitive, I kind of also got pretty competitive in my sports. And so that's just how I've been.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but thanks for taking the time to join me today. And I enjoyed learning a lot about you.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. And hopefully I get to see you sometime soon-ish as stuff start to calm down.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Maybe you, Adam, and I could hit up Beard and Belly and get a drink or something.
I would love that, actually. I have only been talking to Adam, and he's cool and all, but I need to talk to other people, too.
All right. Thanks again, Laura. Have a good one.
Of course. Have a good one. All right. Bye.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to join me, Laura, and for being my 10th guest. Check out the show notes for how to follow her on Instagram. I appreciate everyone for listening and sharing the podcast. Talk to you soon.